This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's time to welcome our special guest. Yo-Yo Ma is a world-renowned cellist. He has 18 Grammy Awards and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You can hear him in the new Audible original series, Words and Music, free to U.S. listeners. Yo-Yo Ma, welcome to Ask Me Another. Hello.
Hello to you, Ophira. I'm so happy to be on your show.
So I saw a video that you brought your cello with you to your second vaccination and then took a moment to play for everybody. Now, did you set out beforehand? Did you say, listen, I'm going to play when I come there, or spontaneous?
No, actually, it was our daughter, who was much more technologically able than her aging parents, went onto her laptop and searched far and wide and found a place in Western Massachusetts that we could get vaccinated. So we went there, and I had my cello in the car. I said, well, maybe I should leave the cello in the car. My wife said, you know, it's not insured if it's stolen in the car. I think you should take it in. I said, yeah, but you know, it's kind of awkward to bring a cello into a vaccination place. Listen, you know, she gave me that look, you know, that you're going to take that in. Says, okay, would you mind, like, if we go, we sign in, maybe I'll pass it to you and you kind of go with it. And she said, fine. And then she goes ahead of me and gets her vaccination. They said, you know, this cello, you played. And she says, no, that's my husband. And so I'm next. And they said, oh, so you have your cello. Are you going to play? I said, of course I'm going to.
Okay, okay, okay.
Of course. No, because, you know, you don't want to make a scene, right? You don't want to go in and say, hi, I'm here to get my vaccination. I thought I'd play for you. So, no, we don't want you to play for us. Just get out. So,
I appreciate this talk of humility. I really do. But let's also understand, you know, I'm pretty sure, Yo-Yo, that they're going to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, of all the people to provide unasked for cello music,
yeah, they'd
I
be
feel like
okay.
You are qualified.
You got 3 minutes. Now scat.
That's right. I got things to do. And how did it feel performing at that vaccination site?
Oh, listen, look, I love to play in, you know, all kinds of places. And
and
what was lovely was that there was an elderly gentleman who obviously needed the music, because he just turned his chair around, came really close but socially distanced. And the whole time I was playing, he put his head in his hands and he was just kind of drinking it in, like he needed something. And other people came and, you know, just walked over, snapped a photo, and
sure,
you know, and so you got all kinds of people. You know, it's like, and one person when I left said, yeah, that was really nice. Do you play with the Boston Symphony? I said, well, you know, sometimes I do. And, you know, that was enough to answer their question. And
when they're lucky. People, you know, did you say that? When they're lucky.
No. When I need a job. Give me a job, please. And so it was just, you know, but that's what's so wonderful. I think the person who gave my wife and me the vaccination, she said, you know, it's such a privilege to be doing this. And I thought, yeah, it's such a privilege to see this whole place of people, volunteers, just manning the tables and the lists, and just, you know, everything was well organized, well ordered. And it was just a ultimate demonstration of people doing civic duty.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, yes, this is who we are. This is, you know, this is the country that I think we live in every local community. People are just giving of their time and abilities for the public good. And they were coming through gangbusters.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who travels yourself consistently all the time for work, that changed, of course, in March, and you were at home, although, you know, you did many performances both over Zoom and what have you, as well outside on a flatbed truck.
Best way to perform.
Was it the best way to perform?
I tell you, it was so liberating to go, and there was this wonderful arts company in Pittsfield who actually provided the backdrop, and they distributed these hula hoops, you know, because we were limited to 25 people. So they found a really lovely way to put, you know, these circles out on the ground and colored circles, and people just knew exactly where to be. And we could only play 15 minutes because that was the amount of time allowed to be in one place at a gathering. It felt a little bit like when we were in grade school, we'd be carted around from place to place.
Yes. Okay. Just sort of like, here we are now.
You do this. Okay. Now you do that. So it's like, you know, it was great.
And all the pretenses are gone.
Yeah. 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 And we even went to it like a dairy farm, a wonderful dairy farm. And there were like a whole bunch of cows by the fence. And I wish I could have a photograph of this, because by the end of our playing, all the cows had moved over towards our side of the fence. We're just kind of, I mean, they were drawn to something, right? You know, I don't know what it was, but I wanted to say, listen, the next day's milk, make sure you taste it.
It's going to be good.
Exactly. Yeah. Just is it sweeter? Is it sweeter?
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. Oh, I see. Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, this batch is off.
Not that batch.
But you were just, you know, speaking of just feeling like you were in grade school, being carted around, you know, your recent episode of the Audible series Words and Music, where you talk about your life and career, is called Beginner's Mind, because it's basically about reclaiming that curiosity and openness and learning to approach things as if it was for the first time. How do you use that mentality in your own career?
Well, I think this is one thing that as a performer, I try and do every time I get on stage, because it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It's what you do right now is what counts, right? Nobody cares how well you might have or badly you might have played the day before. And in fact, right? He says, I'm sorry, I messed up tonight's performance, but yesterday was really good. You should have been there. But I think ultimately what I love about a beginner's mind is that what you get to be receptive to what's around you. It allows you to be present without judgment. It's like every place people are concerned about slightly different things, mm-hmm. and being able to talk to people who are, you know, at the airport, or this the cab driver, or, you know, someone at the grocery store, you know, just find out, how's it going? What's going on in your life? You know, because in the evening, you're playing for them. And if I know who they are, and I know what's on their minds, you know, I'm better able to deliver something that might be palatable to them. Mm-hmm.
I also just have to ask, in 2018, you did NPR's Tiny Desk, and you brought your famed 1712 Stradivarius. There's something like 60 or 63 of these in the world. How did you obtain it?
Well, the nice thing is I didn't obtain it, but I get to play on it for life, but somebody else owns it. And you know what's great about that is the fact that you know, almost for all of the time that Strads have been in existence, they've always been just a little bit out of the reach of players, because you know, they were so beautifully made that they were very often snapped up by collectors. And for the third time in the life of this cello, it was made available to a player. And so it has something to it that I think gives it a very special soul, you know? It's like there's a generosity in its spirit. And so I feel incredibly privileged to, you know, to be a temporary custodian of this instrument. You know, this cello is older than the United States. You know, right? It's 64 years older than the United States. And it's still producing, you know, the fibers are still vibrant, the wood, you know, it's like, there's something wonderful about that.
What is the personality of that particular instrument? Does it...
It's just like you.
It's just like me, bright, charming.
Absolutely. Resilient and, you know...
It has bangs.
Has bangs, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, we have a game for you.
Okay.
This is an exciting moment. Would you like to play a game with us, Yo-Yo Ma?
I'd love to play a game with you.
Great. So this is a game about contemporary pop songs and that quote classical music. We are going to play you a clip of a pop song, and you have to identify the classical piece that is being quoted.
Okay. Well, I can tell you something.
Yes.
I am known within my family as being the idiot.
How?
I would walk into the room. There's a piece of music playing on the radio, and I can identify a cello. Nice piece. Wow. You know, it's, yeah, I wonder what it is. I don't think I know the cellist, but I'd like to get to know the person. And Jill's asking me, so do you know, what's the piece? What's the piece? Do you know? Says, I don't know, but it's very beautiful. Turns out it's something that I recorded. And I've completely erased it from my memory. You know, I'm supposed to be musically adept or talented or, you know, right?
It's been said.
Yeah,
that's
it's
what
been
they say,
said.
Yeah.
Right? But I told you I am an idiot.
I'm so excited to see what happens.
Yeah, okay. Well, so am I.
So here's your first clip. It's by the artist Vitamin C. The song is called Graduation, Friends Forever.
So I suppose the ostinato is what? Pachelbel's canon or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So
exactly.
All right. See? So I can't even predict my own failure. You see?
All right. Here's another opportunity to succeed or fail.
To fail. No, I relish all opportunities to fail.
This is a Billy Joel song titled This Night.
Yeah, I know the tune.
Yeah. It's hard to separate it from the context of a Billy Joel song.
It's the second movement of the Beethoven Pathétique Sonata.
Yeah, that's right. Sonata Pathétique. That's right.
You know, just a quick side question. You started playing cello when you were 4, correct?
That's correct.
So, but you played violin and failed at that before that. When did you start playing violin?
Yeah, well, obviously, it's by a process of subtraction. Before I was 4. I think I was 2.5 or something. And my sister was 4 years older, and she was very good. And I was very bad. And gave it up. And it was, you know, my parents thought, well, the boy's just not musically talented.
I love the idea of your parents giving you a chance to play violin when you're, you know, 2.5 years old, and then saying, ugh, this kid is no good.
Exactly.
This 2.5-year-old is no good at violin.
Obviously not. Obviously. Can't read, can't play violin.
Exactly. Yep, that's right. And my parents, yeah, they were quick judges. But you know what? I have grandsons who's now like 4, and when I play an instrument for a while, he was interested in listening, and I thought, wow, kid's really talented. And
yeah.
And then he figured out how to open the case, how to take the cello out, how to do everything. And then he wants to kind of take over. I said, you know, I don't want competition. Just stay away, you know, because I need my job.
That's right. And that's the one that's not insured, right?
Exactly.
That's the one that's not.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Okay, here's another one for you. Okay. We have a few more. This song is by the R&B group In Vogue.
Ooh, nice. Yes, this is from The Nutcracker.
That is correct. Yeah, absolutely.
That's my grandson's favorite piece right now, is The Nutcracker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he just loves it.
All right, this is the last question for you. This one is from The Beach Boys, and it's called Lady Linda.
Nice. This is from Bach, Jesu, Band of Joy Desiring.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done. Well,
yeah, guess what? Guess what? You got them all right.
Well, you know what? That is an anomaly. I beg to differ. I resent that.
You beg to differ.
Yeah, I do.
I just have to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us.
This is great. Thank you for having me.
Yo-Yo Ma Beginner's Mind is available exclusively on Audible and is free to all U.S. listeners. That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff, along with Julia Melfi and senior writers Camilla Franklin and Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, and Ramel Wood. And this week, we say goodbye and good luck to our amazing intern, Sophie Hernandez Simeonithis.
Refashioned Zen inside is home.
Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.